Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Heavenly Father, this morning we ask you for wisdom and understanding. Please open our eyes and quicken our minds so that we may understand your word to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the second part of a five-part series on marriage and divorce called Serious Trouble. We will be discussing, Lord willing, what happens when serious trouble enters a marriage and threatens the relationship between a husband and a wife. This week, we will try to address the issues before they result in a marital breakdown and the disruption of the family. Now, last week, we laid the biblical foundations of God's laws regarding the permanency and the sanctity of marriage. We found that the scriptures teach six different principles that override any notion that we may have to the contrary, however derived. These are God's laws, the principles in and through which we must live our lives, not just as Christians. These laws are universal. The marriage covenant between a man and a woman next door that do not follow Jesus Christ, that conform to these principles, is just as holy and just as permanent and just as binding as your own. God's marriage laws transcend time. They transcend race, religion, and circumstances. The very idea that Christianity can be used as a license to break up families and to legitimize and sanctify the sin of remarriage adultery is blasphemy, but it is done every single day. That is why statistics prove that the more Christianized a nation is, the higher the divorce rate becomes. Consequently, the divorce and the remarriage infection within Western New York and Canada and the United States and the evangelical born-again community circles is equal to or considerably higher than the unsaved, unchurched people around us. Imagine. How is that? Why is that? It's because God's principles are unknown right within God's own house. The six principles are the following. 1. According to the scriptures, all homosexual relationships are forbidden by God. Homosexual marriages or any union of a woman to a woman or a man to a man is an abomination in the eyes of God and must be repented of and forsaken. According to the scriptures, marriage is an institution designed and administered by God for a lifelong union in holy matrimony of one man and one woman. 3. According to the scriptures, God hates divorce and never, ever sanctions it for covenant marriages. A covenant marriage is a union where God has joined a man who does not have another living pre-existent wife to a woman that does not have another living pre-existent husband into what the Bible calls a one-flesh covenant relationship. 4. According to the scriptures, a husband or wife are not to separate from or divorce their spouse, but if they are, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, they must remain single and celibate as long as they both live or else be reconciled. 5. According to the scriptures, a marriage may be violated but not invalidated by adultery committed by either the husband or the wife or both. 6. According to the scriptures, any marriage entered by any man or woman who has a living, pre-existent husband or wife is not a one-flesh covenant marriage that is recognized by God and is considered to be the sin of adultery and must be repented of and forsaken. Now, let's go to the Word of God, right back to the beginning when God married the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. Most of you will know the story by heart, but let's hear it again. Please turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 and verses 21 to 24. I'm going to use the New American Standard Bible for all of my readings today. Please feel free to use whichever version you prefer. Here we go. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Verse 21, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she is taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, unquote. In Matthew 19, verse 6, Jesus added critical meaning and insight to the story, particularly one single verse. Let's turn to it now. New Testament, Book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 6. Now, just about this entire first part of the chapter is about marriage, but we're going to concentrate for the moment on a single one. Verse 6, quote, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate," unquote. Not only does God create marriage, he has built mankind, both male and female, with an overwhelming instinct to mate for life. Anyone who says and maintains differently has never experienced the full force of falling in love with a person who will be the mother or the father of your children. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you are much poorer because of it. I don't suppose there is a drug or a condition that is stronger in this world than the force of love between a man and a woman that conforms to God's marriage principles that is recognized by Him. That kind of love encompasses the God-given and fueled passions that romantic dreams are made of. That is why humans are hopeless romantics, addicted to and seeking or looking for a replacement when God's marriage laws are broken over and over again in marriage and divorce and remarriage, chasing that ever elusive dream of true love. It's a long, sad story how such a thing even happened to us in this species. Let's talk about the background and the origins of these problems for a few minutes as we face in marriage, divorce, and remarriage. When God designed the world, he knew what choices our race and what we as individuals would make. He created mankind, both male and female, making each sex very different, but in complementary ways. Where one sex was weak, he made the other strong. That is why opposites attract in courtship. However, because of our fallen natures, the same beneficial differences between a man and his wife will always become the basis for friction, disagreement, and estrangement without the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. The seeds of unrepentant sin and full-grown dress crop it produces are always at the center of every single broken home. Behind each divorce lie the broken laws and rejected love of God. That is why there is no solution to the permanent collapse of morality within the church except by the pure application of the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our very survival depends upon it. The primary building block of society is the Bible-based male-female spiritual family unit. It is what separates us from complete social and spiritual breakdown. Without it, we are threatened with an unrestricted, immoral free-for-all of hate and selfishness, not unlike that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Satan hates marriage and loves divorce and allows him to curse the minds and the hearts of all involved, turning what was once love into hate and bitterness and deceit. But it need not be so. Or if so, it need not stay that way. The answer, the simple answer to all of the social and the economic problems in God's is God's marriage mandates. Not just for our civilization as a whole, but a fundamental building block for the very existence of the church. Without marriage, as God defined it, the church, all of it will cease to exist. But that must not happen, and it cannot happen, according to Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle explained the significance of marriage and how central a pure expression of it is to the very existence and the very substance of the Christian faith and the Christian church. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is very direct teaching. Verse 22, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Now, in that scripture, there are two phrases that stand out to me in this teaching. Here they are. It's the first verse, first part of verse 25. Quote, husbands, love your wives, unquote. And it's the last part of verse 33. Quote, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband, unquote. I don't suppose that all of the millions of words written and spoken by all the marriage counselors and the advice dispensers in the whole world can better sum up what it takes to make a happy home. Every family everywhere that obeys these two little laws will be happy regardless of any circumstances to the contrary. They could be as poor as Job's turkey, so they say. They could have the worst luck, the harshest circumstances, and have all the odds stacked against them. But if they maintain these two principles, they will be successful in love. On the other hand, all other words written and spoken by the wisest of marriage wizards can never help or heal the marriage where neither one or the other or both of these ordinances are broken, regardless of all the privileges and the circumstances and the advantages to the contrary. A husband that loves his wife the way that Christ loves the church, lays down his life for her, suffers for her, protects her, cherishes her. Such a husband who lays his life down regardless of his personality profile and his social inadequacies, and he is patient and he is kind and he is never jealous. He does not brag. He is not arrogant to her. He does not act unbecoming to her. He does not seek his own. He is not easily provoked, and he does not take into account a wrong that is suffered, but extends unconditional forgiveness. No matter what this husband looks like, no matter what he may otherwise be or not be in life, if he loves his wife as Jesus Christ, even if just on a human level, not even talking about with supernatural help or esoteric wisdom, but as a husband, as a man to his wife, then his wife could not and cannot and will not help but to respect her husband. A woman that respects her husband builds a wall of support and safety around her husband. Her respect and her trust in him will irresistibly draw him upward to become the man that his wife sees and believes he is. There is no stronger or moral or more faithful or more confident a husband than the one whose wife respects him with all of her heart and shows it in all of her actions and life, particularly to him and the children and to others. If a wife does not respect her husband, regardless of all the other circumstances to the contrary, she cannot and she will not have a successful and a happy home or a stable marriage. All the sage words and all the writings to the contrary will not replace genuine respect or make up for its shortfall. For as the scriptures say, the wife must see to it that she respect her husband. Next week, and please help me, part 3, we will be delving into what happens and what to do when everything goes wrong and one or both husband and wife want to leave, break up the marriage, and destroy the home. That's next week, Lord willing, but we are not there yet. If you are facing serious problems in your home and it has not yet reached the point that we will be talking about next week, then I beg you in the name of Jesus to hear me now. Husbands, you must not wait for your wife to respect you or to admire you or to feed your ego or to do anything on her part to honor you. No, you must not wait. You must act now. Act first. Take the leadership role. Here it is. Love your wife as Jesus loves you. Do it. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing mysterious. You won't have to do it alone. God will pour out all of the raw power of the universe to help you. Love her. Love her. Love her. Even though, in spite of everything, love your wife. As God told Hosea in chapter 3, verse 1 in his book, love your wife, even though she is an adulteress, even though she is loved by another man, and love her in the same way that God loves Israel, even though they chase after other gods. There is no room here for pride. There is no room for anger. There's no room for unforgiveness. There's no room for jealousy. There's no room for revenge. And there is no room for rights or justice, none. When a man loves the Lord his God with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his mind and his wife as he loves himself, there is no room left in that heart for any of these things. No room at all. Even though, wives, respect your husband. Treat him with all the utmost courtesy and goodwill. Do not wait for him to earn your respect. It is not necessary. He is your husband. Respect him. Honor him. Treat him with dignity and do good. Let him see how good and gracious a man that you think him to be, if you will do so sincerely with a pure heart, all of the power of heaven will be yours for the simple asking. Brothers and sisters, that covenant marriage that you were a part of is permanent. That man, that woman is your husband or wife as long as you both live, and you cannot have another. There are no circumstances that can or will alter that fact. You must make it work. You must make it work. If you don't want to be alone, you have no other choice and still be in a relationship with Jesus Christ as long as you both live. Start alone if necessary to do this right. Do your part and keep doing it until God calls you home. Some will say, been there, done that, didn't work. Well, let me tell you something. If you're still talking, you're still thinking, you're still breathing, you have not been there, done that, and you don't know whether it works or not because you did not do it in the power of the Holy Spirit or you would never have stopped doing it. Love your wife, husbands. Wives, respect your husbands. Please turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 9, and read with me. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient in the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as you observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit that is precious in the sight of the Lord. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Your husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the purpose that you might inherit a blessing, and in marriage, and in life. In general, that verse, that last verse is so powerful. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called by the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. I said earlier that next week, Lord willing, we will take a plunge into the waters of heartache and trial by fire when we discuss separation and divorce, the events leading up to it, and that follow. We will seek God's answers and guidance through what is considered by many to be the most painful of all possible life experiences. That's next week. Lord willing, and please help part three, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said that when we gather together, you will be there. We know that you're here, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to help us to understand these things with the heart through the help of the Holy Spirit and be with us this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.